We're going to take a couple more verses in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to hopefully be able to get through four verses today. I've entitled the message, The New Man, or The New Woman, if you will. Inclusive in that man is women, amen? But I want to talk about the new man, or at least where we were last week and how we get to what Paul was talking about when he talked about the new life that is ours in Christ Jesus. Father, I now pray that, Lord, you would simply anoint me to speak forth your word. And as the Spirit and the Word always agree, Father, I pray that which is coming from the page would agree with the Spirit of God in each one of your children. Lord, that they would be affirmed in Christ Jesus, built up and edified and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Lord, and what they've been taught concerning the faith and the truth about and in your Son Jesus. And so we thank you, O God, for the life-giving nature of your word as it comes to us now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, amen. So last week, I'm having that image. Excuse me. When people pray, I see things. I'm having the image what Katie prayed about, the Father who made the heavens and the stars and all the planets. We get to walk with him each day. I'm having that thought is actually playing out in my mind. So it's very delightful to think because as you know him, once you know him as Savior, then and only then can you begin to know him as Creator. And so the two go hand in hand, and it's a delightful thing. Amen. Last week, we stopped with Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, which reads, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." And so we shared a little bit about what it means to hear Christ, to be taught by him, and then our responsibility from that is to learn, okay? And so I put forth the question to us last week, what have we learned from Christ in the past week? What have we learned? And that's not only last week, but that's this week. That's not only yesterday. That's today. That is day by day by day. As Katie prayed, we are literally walking with our Savior. We are literally walking with him. And if we constantly look to him and trust him, you will actually hear him leading you in every situation in your life. Every day, all the circumstances of life that come up, he will lead you. And so, in particular, as I think about, as I would go to ever discipline my children, the Father, I would always hear him speak to me about how he dealt with me. See, because before you deal with them, you need to know how I dealt with you. Because if the scripture says, to him who received mercy, he ought to give mercy. And so before I would go to discipline, Father would always, it's quick to remind me, wait a second, hold up. Remember how I dealt with you. Remember how I had mercy on you. Remember how, and it just pulls everything back. Pulls everything back. So here we go. I want to look at now verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 4, which reads, "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul tells the Ephesian believers to do two things, put off and put on. Put off and put on, okay? We understand that because no one goes home at the end of the day and puts on their pajamas without first taking off your work clothes, you know, your clothes. So you put those off so that you might put something useful on. And so Paul is telling them, these disciples, to put off the former lifestyle. The former old lifestyle, which he says grows corrupt. You know, what you feed will grow. And so that nature, that old nature, grows corrupt. Now, what Paul is telling these disciples, remember, in the first century is by revelation. The people did not know how to live unless God, through Christ, gave Paul the revelation to then speak it, and it was put down. So this is, though Paul is penned it, though Paul is speaking, we know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this down. And so he states a revelation of the Spirit that was given to the churches through the epistles. But before we look at what Christ teaches us, I want to go back and remind us about the power of the Word of God to us. The power of the Word of God to us. I've said this before. Let me say it again. I said it a couple of weeks ago. When God speaks, everything changes. When God speaks. Okay? Let me say that again. When God speaks, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said. And when God said, whatever he said came into being in an instant. So when God speaks, everything changes. Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9 reads this way. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. This is our God. When he speaks, things are done. Don't you wish it were that easy? Matter of fact, we have a saying, because things are so hard for us, we say that's easier said than done. That's because of who we are. But the scripture says, for he spoke and it was done. So for God, just to show you now, you know, we're not gods and we never will be gods, okay? For God, when he speaks is synonymous with it being done, period, okay? So, therefore, the scripture says all the earth should fear him and all the earth should stand in awe of who he is. Isaiah 46 and 9, or 46 verse 11, says, God speaking says, indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Isaiah 55, 11 says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So every time God speaks, there is power in the word that he speaks to accomplish what he speaks. Okay? That is to me, that is mind-blowing to me. But our God, this is his nature. This is who he is. In the beginning, it is so much his nature. His words have such power that the New Testament equivalent to Genesis 1:1 is John 1:1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So how powerful are words? When was the last time somebody blessed you immensely by a word? And conversely, when was the last time someone hurt you immensely? Just with a word. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words that lie. They told us when we were little, but words will never hurt me. Hello. Oh, no, I remember saying that when I was a child. Getting older, I was thinking, oh, that's a lie. Oh, where did that thing come from? I need to look that up. But no, words can destroy you. Right? And so words are very powerful. I said this a couple weeks ago. Words are very powerful. However, words apart from the action that they promise mean nothing. And it's election year. And so politicians are promising everything. And they promise things that will never happen. And people get very discouraged by it. But yet on election year, politicians say all kinds of things and people believe every word. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I'm voting for you. And then it never happens. God, on the other hand, has never spoken a useless or unfruitful word ever. He has never spoken a useless word, because every word of God is full of power and purpose to accomplish and does accomplish what he speaks. Why am I going over this? I'm going over it because we are about to hear God speak. And I want us to know that, listen, when you, when Pastor Bill was up here just now giving, leading in communion, I don't know if you heard all that he was saying, but I was full to the top by the time he was done. I'm like, oh, there's the whole sermon. I'm done. Glory to God. He just, oh, my Lord, it was feeding, it's just literally feeding my spirit, the word of God. And all of the words, see, because when you obey God, we call it the blessings of obedience, but there is power when you do what God tells you to do. Why? Because there's power in God's word. Every time God speaks to you, power of the power and life of God is released to you through the word that comes to you. That's what happens when the gospel is preached. That's how unsaved people get saved. The gospel is preached. And Paul said in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But he said it is the power. What is the gospel? The gospel is the word of God preached. And it is the power of God. And one day you heard the gospel. I heard the gospel. And the power of God, the same power of God that overshadowed Mary and that created in her womb Christ, the same Holy Spirit overshadowed you and birthed Christ in you through the word of God, through the word of God that was spoken. So when the word of God is spoken, power is released and comes at you. It washes over people when the word of God is declared. That's why the devil doesn't want us declaring the word of God. Okay? So that when God speaks to you, power is released to accomplish what he said to you. I said a couple of weeks ago in our Tuesday prayer meeting, this is why the scripture is full of examples. And so when Peter and the disciples were in the boat and hear Jesus come walking on the water, and Peter says, and they're all scared, and Peter says, Lord, if that's you, let me come to you, command that I would come to you on the water. Jesus said one word. He said, come. And when Jesus said, come, power was released for Peter to do what Jesus said to do. So Peter got up on the boat and got out on the ledge and stepped out on the water and started to walk to Jesus. Why could Peter do that? Because Jesus said, come. And when God speaks, power is released for you to do what he commands you to do. So when Peter and the disciples were in the boat fishing all night and had caught nothing, Jesus shows up in the morning. They've fished this whole lake. And Jesus shows up and says, throw the nets on the right side of the boat. Now, when Jesus said that, you say, when did the fish get there? Were they there all night? Well, we know they weren't all there all night because they've been fishing all night. But when Jesus said, cast the nets on the right side of the boat, beloved, when you go and you obey God, power, the word of God comes and power is released. Listen, what it means then is this, that God can speak to people, power is released, but because they don't obey, they miss the moving power of God. Because Jesus said, when they obeyed, they threw the nets on the right side of the boat and couldn't even draw the haul in. It was so heavy. On and on and on it goes. Why am I doing this? Because we're about to hear God speak through Paul what God said. Let me go a little bit further. The centurion that came to Jesus. He came to Jesus and said, listen, my servant is at home, sick, he's dying. Would you heal him? Jesus says, I will come. The centurion says, Master, I'm not worthy that you should even come under the roof of my house. He said this, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. Now, did the centurion understand all about who Jesus was? No, but he understood authority. And he said, I have servants and I command them to go and they do this. And he says, so Jesus, just speak the word. And when Jesus says, go, your servant is healed. When Jesus said that, the scripture says later on when the centurion got home, he questioned, says, what time did he come to? He said about sometime yesterday. And it was the same time that the centurion was standing before Jesus. And Jesus said, your servant is healed. So when the word of God comes to you and I, power is released for the word to bring itself to pass in you and in I. And we wonder, why does God have churches? Why does God have bodies and apostles? And I'll talk about the whole fivefold ministry. Why does God have us come to a church to hear the words preached once a week? Sometimes more than once a week. Why does God do that? Why did pastors say, read your Bible? I don't understand. Why? Hello? Hello? It's God's word. It's God's word. This right here is the only record that we have of God speaking in the existence of our world. This right here. And it's full of the power of life. Remember Lazarus in the tomb. Jesus comes. Martha says, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. He stinks. Jesus moved the stone. Lazarus! When he said, Lazarus, come forth. When he said, come forth, power went out. And it went through the grave clothes. It went through everything. And Lazarus, and he stood up with the grave clothes on. But he's alive. Why? Because there's power that comes from God when he speaks. And so I say the greatest thing that you and I need in our lives is to hear from God. Period. We need to hear from our Father who is in heaven. And we said last week, the number one way, the absolute number one way you hear from God, the way you check all the other things that you hear by all the other means, dreams, visions, on, the way you check it, right here. Right here. Okay? So when God speaks, it's done. Now here's the scary reality, which I mentioned already. Is that when God gives a command, man can disobey. We see it in the New Testament, we see it in the Old Testament. God gave the first command to Adam and Eve, from all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, you shall not eat from there. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so God gave them a command, but God made us with a will. And so, though we hear the command of God, we still have a will as to whether or not we're going to choose to obey the command of God. Well, so what was true in the Old Testament is true in the New. Man disobeys God to his own peril, but he still has a will that he must submit to God. I was going to go into the Old Testament and tell the story of a prophet, but for lack of time, I'm going to skip over that. So Paul says this, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now Paul says that, but that's God's word to us. And sometimes people say, well, how do you stop living the old way? I can't seem to shake the old way. Well, guess what? The word of God that comes to us actually gives us power not to do things. Not to. Because he said to put off. That means stop living the way you were living, right? There is power coming from God for us to put off the old man. This is what Paul is saying here. This is what he's teaching in verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, here's something that, my God, here's something that I have not known all of my saved life or all of my life as being a pastor and preaching and teaching. I have not known this because, I mean, you know, God's always teaching us. He's always teaching us. But you've heard me say God first. God first. I'm going to be saying God first till the day I go to be with Jesus because I've learned something. He is the first. He said, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the ending. But you make no mistake about it. It's me first, son. He has let me know that. And that thing keeps resonating in my own spirit. But let me say this. Before God asks us to do something, he has already done what is necessary to make what he's asking us to do possible. Now, did you hear that? Let me say it again. Before God asks us to do something or anything, he has already done what is necessary to make what he is asking us to do possible. So in other words, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so when I go to ask you to do something, it's because I've already made provision for you to do what I'm asking you to do. Okay? Well, then what does that mean? That means long term, that means I can't even take credit for what I do in God. No, you cannot. You mean I can't boast? Romans 4 said that if Abraham had whereof to boast, it wasn't before God. He said Abraham couldn't boast before God because God did everything. Abraham was a sinner called by grace to leave his family and his country. I'm going to try and keep this on focus. Paul is saying that you put off, he's telling these Ephesian believers, I want you to stop living in that old way, which is, and when you look out at the world, what Paul's, you know, I don't have to spend a lot of time on the old man and the way he lives and all that, because we know all about it. And if you ever forget, just walk out your front door, turn on television, because it's there in full form, right? So we don't have to struggle to understand what is Paul talking about according to the deceitful lust. I mean, it's everywhere, right? But he says by the Spirit of God that you put off, my God, concerning your former conversation, your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt. Now, here's the word of God now coming and asking us to do something. But here then is what it does. This is something that I'm taking great delight in now. Whenever God tells me or commands me to do something, it is because he has already done something for me. So now when I hear a command, my delight is looking at what God has already done in order for me to do what he's commanded me to do, right? And so when I look at this command to put off concerning the former conduct, Paul isn't saying anything that he hasn't said to other churches. We know it very well. In Romans chapter 6, you know the passage, Romans 6, 1. Let me turn to it. But Paul says this, after laying out this argument in Romans 5, he says in Romans 6, 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Do you not know? He starts this whole, do you not know? How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? So when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, 22, that you put off the old man, Romans 6, 5 says the same thing. He says this, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, you know, I'm going to tell you what the bulk of your Christian life is all about. Knowing this. The bulk of your Christian life is about the Holy Spirit revealing who Christ is, what Christ has accomplished for you. That's the bulk of it. And when you know who Christ is and what he's done, it changes how you live. When you know, listen to what Paul says. He says, for we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. So in Ephesians chapter 4 and 22, when Paul says that you put off the former conduct, he's asking us to do something based upon what Christ has already done. So the old way, my old way of living, your old way of living, that old lifestyle, you know why we can put it off? Because when Christ hung the cross, he crucified it. He put the axe to it. He destroyed it. Okay? And so Romans says that our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So then, what God is commanding me to do, and the way I live my life, is based upon what Christ has already done. God has already gone before and accomplished for you and I what we could not do without him, what we could not do on his own. So, therefore, we understand Romans 6 and 11 and 12 that says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. There is power in that word for you and I. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. But this lust everywhere. But what we need to look at is what Christ did on the cross. What we need to focus on, what we need to gaze at. Remember in the Old Testament when the people sinned and Moses and God said, Moses, erect a serpent, put it on the pole. And when the people look at it, they'll be healed. They will be healed. He said, erect it. And when the people looked at it, they stopped dying. And when we look at Christ and what he has done, when we continually look at that which he accomplished, see, because some we get so, we try and willpower it. Oh, I'm trying not to. No. That's not what he said to do. He said that Jesus Christ, your old man, hung on the cross with you. And when Christ died, your old man died. When Christ rose, the new man, the new one who's created after God in true righteousness and holiness, rose up so that we walk in newness of life. So what Paul is calling the Ephesians to has already been accomplished in Christ Jesus, both the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So in our text, when he says that you put off, how can I put this off? By realizing this, it's dead. It's dead. That old life. Think it's not, go back to it and see what happened. It's dead. It's bringing nothing but death, right? So every Old Testament, New Testament commandment has its fulfillment in the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything that God commands us to do, we find fulfilled in the cross because power is released from God's word to accomplish that which he calls us to. Okay? So in other words, the power to live the Christian life is found in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there is no power to live a godly life. Okay? Now when I receive a commandment or a word from God, I'm just simply reading the scriptures and the command comes, I'm beginning to delight in it because now I'm saying, wait a second. God, yes, son, it's always been that way. Because I will never command you to do something that you cannot do. But what you must realize is whatever I command you to do, you cannot do without me. Come on, church. I mean, and so we're cleaving to him. We're clinging to him. Okay? Now, let's look at this next phrase, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I mean, let me deal with this for a second because listen to this, when we were born again, it was our spirit that was born again. But our mind did not get born again. Thank you. Let me say that again. I said when we got born again, it was our spirit that got born again. But our mind did not get born again. Which is why Paul says, and be renewed, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's interesting as you go through the scriptures, how many times God left up what he left up, the mind, he left it up to us. Let me give you a few scriptures. Because we are responsible for what our minds feed on. Joshua 1:8. We are responsible for what our minds feed on. Be courageous. Be of good courage. He said, be not dismayed. He says, this book of the law, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you will make your way prosperous, that you would have good success, right? Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walks not the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor seats in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of his God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay? I'm simply talking about now how the scripture is saying that what we are to do with our minds. Now, my spirit and your spirit is born again. But it is the spirit, it is the mind that has to choose between the old nature and the new nature. Remember Paul said, put off the old man. We haven't gotten to it yet, but he's going to say, put on the new man. But notice what's between the old and the new. The mind. Look at Ephesians 4:22. It says that you put off the old man, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and put on the new man. Between the old, the only thing that I can reckon it to is, remember old Fred Flintstone, and one time it happened on the Jetsons. You know, they had a little, the angel was over here, and the devil was over here, showed up, and he's listening to it, and he's like, no. Hit him, beat him up. This guy's like, oh, no, be loving kind. And he's going back and forth listening to. Now, God did not save our minds. Why? He saved our spirits. He didn't save our mind. Because God wanted to leave you with a will. See, if he takes your will, then you're a robot. And then it's not love. Come on, right? No, God left our mind, our will, and emotions, our soul. That makes up our inner being, our soul. He left all of that. But we are taught in the scriptures to control our minds. We're taught in the scriptures to control our minds. So now watch this. Listen, we are saved. Our spirits are saved. But watch Romans 12 too. You all know it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. How do I do that? You renew your mind when the Word of God gives you a perspective that's totally different than the one you're living in. Come on. Because the Word of the Kingdom is opposite of the Word of this life. Right? So, but he said, Paul said, and when you read, you'll see the format. When you go and read, you really need to read Romans, well, all of Romans up to chapter 12. You read all of that, and then you get to chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. You need to go and really understand by the mercies of God. Because he just got finished talking about Gentiles being grafted into a wild. We were wild olive tree. We were wild and not. Didn't have the same nature of the olive tree, but we were grafted in. It says we're wild by nature, but God grafted us in. That was the mercy of God. He says now, because God's been so merciful to you, he says that you present your bodies as living sacrifices unto God, holy and acceptable unto him. Then he says, he goes on and says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as God's word comes to us, it changes our mind concerning everything. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell, be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You never hear Paul saying, let your spirit be changed. Come on, undo. Why? Because we couldn't do anything about our spirits. God saved us of his own accord. But he says, now you need to renew your mind, though. God's not going to renew your mind. Hello. God's not going to come down and turn off your TV. He's not going to come down and take your mouse and click off that website. He's not going to come. He's not going to do all that because he says, you renew your mind. You renew your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above. Have we got the message? God's saying, I'm going to leave your mind for you to renew because I want you to engage your will in this relationship that I'm having with you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, mind your own business. Yes. 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 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind. So it is with our minds that we choose between the old man and the new. And so Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, what is this old man and new man? Are they people? Are they persons? No. What they are natures. The old man corresponds to our old nature. The new man corresponds to our new nature. But beloved, we all know that some commentators believe that when Paul said that God created this new man, that he made us totally new with inside, we are a totally different person. If that were true, we wouldn't be able to sin. Okay? No, it's a new nature. But God, as he did with Adam, gave him a will that he had to submit to God. So we are left with wills by which we either choose the old nature or we choose the new, according to what Paul wrote right here. But if we're renewed in the spirit of our mind, then we will make choices. You remember when Jesus took the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, pray, lest you enter temptation. Then he goes away and he comes back and they're asleep. He says, Peter, could you not pray? He says, watch and pray. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's like, Peter, you said you wouldn't. You said others may die or others may run, but I'll die for you, Jesus. Your spirit is willing. But there's part of you that when you get in the heat of battle, you're going to fall apart, Peter. And Peter had something that was leaning towards the goodness. He had something that was leaning towards the weakness. And so the same with us. Paul says to the Ephesian believers, put off, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Feed your mind what is holy and just and true and pure. That's another Philippians 4:8. Paul says, whatever things be true, honest, just, pure, whatever is of good report, lovely, and so forth, think on these things. And the God of peace will be with you, and so forth and so on. So, we must choose then to live in the new man or the new life that God has created. We must choose. Just as Christ was born of the incorruptible seed, implanted and married by the Holy Spirit, so we have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God implanted through the preaching of the gospel. And so Peter said this in 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So in the new man, the new nature that God has birthed us into, we still have a choice to make. And we make it through the renewing of our minds. So now, what are the implications of this? Well, far-reaching, because the music that I listen to, the movies that I allow, the TV shows that I spend, the magazines, you name it, whatever it is that is going to, whatever I'm going to take in the information, and we're still in this information age that so much information is coming at us so fast, that if it's going to contradict, if it's going to so, and the beautiful thing about it is this, we have the Holy Spirit who lives within us so that you say, well, Pastor, I don't know as much scripture as some people do. You don't have to know it all, because the one who is the living word, he's living on the inside of you. And all you have to do is just listen to when he gets uncomfortable. You will know. You will know. You will hear from the new man. He's living within you, and he will never let you go it alone. He will always speak up. Listen, he's not timid. He's not shy. And Lord, no, he is not quiet. He will let you know where he stands, so then you can determine where you're going to stand. Hello? And so the living word is living within us so that we might always, listen, I never sin, put it this way, I never sin without him going before me in one, every time. He's always there. He's always there. And just in my deep within my spirit, or not even deep within something, I just know. No, you know you ain't got. No. And for me to go on ahead is to choose the old man versus the new. So when it comes to the word of God, what does it do? As we read the word of God, it renews our mind and it strengthens us in our spirit, in our inner man, so that we can give ourselves to God. So now that the disciples understand the truth that they have been made free by God through Jesus Christ to make the godly choices with their renewed minds, Paul, as we'll get into next week, proceeds to some particulars of that life. Now, you know, Paul has let them know that God is your strength, and it's the new man that you're to choose. And now, and only then, does he begin to lay it out and says, okay, don't lie to one another. Now, if I just stood up and said, listen, don't lie to each other, you look at me like, okay. But when we see that what God commands us to do, power has been released from God for us to do. Come on. Power has been released from God for us to do in the power of the new man of Christ living within us, and that God is for us with every command that he gives to us. It changes everything. It changes everything. Let's stand to our feet. My prayer is that the Lord would make you and I fully aware of the grace of God that is ours in Christ. To make us fully aware of the grace of God that is ours in Christ, and in so doing, calls us to walk in the fullness of that grace all this week. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you real good.